This is Curse of the Marketer, and I'm Brady Sadler here with my old friend Joe Bondi. We've spent the last 2 days at Joe's place of work, which is Mount Vernon, the home of our nation's first president, George Washington. And Joe was nice enough to open up the library on the property for me to work out of for the last couple days. And in between working sessions, he showed me around the grounds and was really impressed. There are so many things about George Washington that I didn't know, and some of them really relate to business. So I want to get Joe to tell us a little bit about the estate, and also then we'll get one of his values, beliefs, or strategies to kind of share some wisdom with us. So Joe, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat.
Brady, thank you. It's been an awesome couple of days. I've enjoyed having you here and really glad to show you a little bit of Mount Vernon. So my name is Joe Bondi. I'm Senior Vice President for Development, which is fundraising, at George Washington's Mount Vernon, which is the home, gardens, and presidential library of George Washington. And I started there in January, so I'm still relatively new, but have loved every minute of working at this important American institution. And, you know, we've been talking the last couple of days about some of the things that make Washington really relevant in a modern context. And I think, you know, there's a couple of the obvious ones, like, Washington served only two terms as president and then resigned. And that was not, you know, that two-term thing wasn't written into the Constitution for a long, long time, but it was a tradition started by Washington. Take his military service. Washington, after winning the Revolution, could have been king of America, but he turned in his commission. These set forth important traditions in this country, like the civilian, leadership of the military, which is something that has probably protected this democracy for 200 plus years. But I think relative to your work and your podcast, something we've been talking about is Washington as entrepreneur. And I think people don't realize that Washington was an extremely successful businessman. As we were touring the estate today, and of course, I welcome all of your listeners to come to Mount Vernon anytime to get a tour and see what it's like there. But as we were looking at the estate today, we were talking about one of the first business decisions Washington made was switching from tobacco, which was the crop planted at the farm that he inherited, to wheat. And tobacco was a crop that was harmful to the soil and was taxed crazy by the British. And so Washington made an important business decision and a bit of a leap into flour, because he saw it was into grain, which he then turned into flour, which was a leap and a business decision. He saw an opportunity in the marketplace and decided to jump into it. And that was what sparked off a huge acquisition. So Washington inherited one farm. Because of the success of the changeover to grain, he was able to buy the four farms around him, turning into a massive agricultural enterprise of the time. In addition to all of that, Washington was a major fisherman. He had a fishery in the Potomac River, which is right there at the estate, where in 1 year, through netting, they caught 1.6 million fish. They would say that the shad would run in the spring so thick that you could walk from Mount Vernon to Maryland on the backs of the fish. At any given time, 30 to 40% of the income of Mount Vernon was based on this fisheries. An extraordinary thing. I don't think people think of Washington as, as a guy who ran a fishing company. Okay. Washington, so very successful business turning grain into high quality flour, which was a high grade flour, which he was producing at his grist mill there at the estate and selling overseas. In 1796, Washington had a Scottish farm manager on one of his farms, a guy called James Anderson. And he said to Washington, you know, back home, we're turning grain into an even more profitable market. And we're distilling the grain into liquor. And Washington was highly skeptical, as I think good entrepreneurs are at the beginning, but took a chance again, said to Anderson, okay, I'll give you one still. We'll build you one still. Show me what you can do with it. And so they were milling the grains right there at the grist mill. He produced a rye whiskey that first year, and it was so wildly successful that at the end of the year, Washington built a distillery right there next to the grist mill with five copper stills. And in the year that he died, 1799, out of that distillery, Washington produced 11,000 gallons of rye whiskey. That year, he was the most prolific producer of alcohol in the United States. He died that year. I think if Washington had lived another 2 years and had a production at that level, we would remember him as distiller in chief, you know, in addition to general and first president. So, you know, there were a lot of reasons why the booze ended up being a better product. The shipping, you know, so the flour was being barreled and shipped to Europe, where the market was for that. The whiskey was being barreled and shipped to Old Town Alexandria, 10 miles away. We joke that it aged in the barrel from Mount Vernon to Alexandria, a short trip. They were barreling, you know, at the distillery, and it was being drank in Old Town Alexandria that afternoon. Virtually no shipping costs at all. The turnaround, you know, from grain to glass was extremely short, and it ended up being a huge moneymaker for Washington in the last couple of years of his life.
Wow. So you can see why, as you're listening, I found the experience at Mount Vernon, learning about Washington with Joe, so interesting, and why I think it's worth not only visiting there because it's such an amazing place, but digging back into the history of Washington and the history of a lot of the founding fathers and other folks who played a role in the early part of the creation of our country, because just like Hamilton proved, there's new ways to kind of look at some of these things that maybe we think we've known, but maybe didn't understand in quite the same way. So transitioning, as I've asked a few of the other guests that I've had on the podcast, would love to hear from you some advice, you know, that you have found beneficial and that others might be able to learn from, as well as any resource that relates to that that people can kind of dig into.
Yeah, Brady. And so I think, you know, I'm going to sound like I'm plucking the same string here, but for me, something that has been hugely valuable to me in my personal life and in my career has been appreciating and understanding the value of what came before. And I think, of course, I work at a historical institution. So, of course, that would make sense that I would be, that I'd be all about that. But I think it's actually so much, it's more nuanced than just learning about history. I think, you know, in the modern world we live in, change, you know, it's such a truism to say that change is the only constant. We are in search of the next piece of news, the next interesting thing, the next cool app, neat place to go, new restaurant. And I think that we may be losing touch with the where we came from. And this is, I think, not only where we came from a century's perspective, but maybe where we came from in a generational perspective, like just one generation before us. And so when I think about this in a business context, you know, I'm new to Mount Vernon, and I could have come in there, changed the whole place up, and recreated everything in my image. But I believe that this is an institution that has been raising money since 1853. We know a little something about raising money. So it's important for me to understand, how have we raised money? How did we do it? How did the ladies do it in 1853? How did my colleagues that have worked at Mount Vernon raising money for 10 years, how did they do it in the last campaign for Mount Vernon? How did they do it 5 years ago? What techniques have they used with our donors? So I think from a business perspective, it's so important to have that institutional knowledge, because it helps you to avoid making mistakes that the institution has made before. I think in a personal context, for me, Brady, you know, we all have these fascinating stories. You know, when you think about your family story, my family story, where we came from, it's so important to understand those things and appreciate them. So I don't dwell in the past. I think it's an opportunity, though, for us to celebrate the past. And I think about, you know, my Aunt Millie and Uncle Frank, you know, who are sort of my grandparents on my father's side, and their Christmas traditions, for instance. Those are Christmas traditions that carry through to the life that I now have with my wife. These are the things that make us who we are, and it's so important to know where those things came from. So the resource I'm going to tell you about is not one that your other podcaster, your other guests have been, you know, they're probably giving you a book or a movie. The resource to understand history is the people, and you have resources around you every day. So when I think about my colleague that's been at Mount Vernon for 10 years, he is a resource to me. When I think about my parents, my grandparents, they are resources for the stories. Yeah, so family, and then who else out there knows important stories about the place where you are in your life? And so I think about the neighborhood where you live. Did you just move into that neighborhood? Are there neighbors who've lived there 30 years? Could they tell you something interesting about the house you just bought? And this takes the skill of being able to listen and ask critical questions. And these are all things we have to do in business. I do it in my business. You do it in yours. Taking the time to appreciate those stories will make your current life and where you're headed, I think, a more enriched, you know, experience.
Amen. Well, I know my life has been a more enriched experience having known you and learning from you, not just the past 2 days, but for many, many years. And just want to acknowledge you for always being someone that was really interested and curious and showed me the importance of that. So keep up the great work. Thanks again for the hospitality, and keep up what you're doing. I'll look forward to another visit here. I want to come back in the springtime. I feel like I've seen it in the fall.
Exactly.
And it's such a gorgeous property on the Potomac. I mean, it's hard to do justice to it in words. And I hope that people will come check it out too. I know they will.
Yeah, it looks amazing and different in every time of year. So you're welcome to come back anytime. It's been a great pleasure for me. We've always, you know, had this, Brady, and I know you have this with a lot of people, is, you know, we dive right in. We always get into this stuff right away, and I love it. I always love that about, you know, about our friendship.
Great. Thanks, Joe.